During this week, we have been marking the different events of Holy Week, and beginning on Thursday and continuing on Friday, and then today we've been reading from the book of Job and thinking of the similarities between the story of Job and the story of Easter that we have been sharing together, the life of Jesus. I'd like to read the last of our installments from the book of Job, and at this time comes from Job chapter 42, verse 10 through 17. Also, all manner of troubles have come to Job, the most blessed man in that part of the world. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Keren-Happuch. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation, and so he died old and full of years. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your written word. May it be our rule of life, your Holy Spirit, our teacher, and your great glory, our chief concern, through Jesus Christ, our risen Saviour. Amen. Well, as I said, on Thursday evening we began this series on Holy Week lessons from the book of Job. And on this Easter Sunday morning, I want to talk about who we trust in difficult times. And Job provides a very interesting perspective on the way we deal with God in times of peril. Remaining loyal and dedicated helps strengthen our determination to overcome, even when our friends and family may question our sanity for continuing. Many of us have not learned how to trust God in such circumstances, to trust that God is always present to help and to bring us through. And so we may try one of three approaches. Firstly, we may choose to isolate ourselves from the issue, but we know that avoiding a problem will never make it go away. Over time, it may feel like less of a problem, especially if it's a problem of relationship. Tempers may calm, the cause may be forgotten, but the issue still exists, and eventually it will flare up again. Wealth and health concerns are more persistent, and generally we cannot avoid them for long. Calls from people collecting for payment of bills may be a constant reminder. Nagging pain or chronic coughing reminds us of an untended health issue. Avoidance in these cases only leads to more complications. We know from Scripture that Jesus went to Jerusalem to engage the issues when other alternatives were available to him. Some of his disciples suggested other courses of action, but Jesus would not avoid the adversaries who were already questioning his authority and questioning his actions. A second opinion that many people choose to adopt and accept is to accept the problem as inevitable. That kind of resignation in relationships might be stated as, oh, that's just the way he or she is. And we come to believe that no amount of effort or no new approach will bring about change. And we resign ourselves to living with unhappiness. The belief becomes more ingrained and change will not occur. Problems of wealth and health are avoided in much the same way. I've heard people say, my family was poor and I'm destined to be the same. And perhaps you've heard someone say, I've always been a guy or a woman with poor health, a sickly person. Again, once stated, the belief becomes ingrained, making change improbable. When I read the scriptures, I'm intrigued by the fact that Jesus never said anything about his adversaries that would lead us to believe that he accepted their behaviour as inevitable. He simply persisted in living his life with integrity, offering new choices for living to everyone he encountered. The third approach is to take some assertive action. When problems are relationship driven, one or the other has to take the first step towards reconciliation. And we seem to want to wait for the other person to say, I'm sorry. But it is important for us to take the first step and to start the dialogue. Well, some of you might be sitting there this morning thinking, well, you just don't understand my problem. I've gone to the person I don't like and it still didn't work. Well, the Bible's lesson to us is to try again. Trusting God involves more than waiting for answers. It means we take an active role in finding resolution to problems. In wealth and health situations, there are multiple avenues to help overcome problems. Financial planning courses are available from a variety of good sources. Assertive action means enrolling, adopting the process and following it through. Beginning preventative health exams and changing eating and exercise habits is the best assertive approach towards living a healthy life. And on this Easter Sunday, we are reminded that Jesus took action. He did not wait for others to come to him, but he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Jesus faced those who were in conflict with him, and he treated them with respect and kindness. On Friday, we remembered that Jesus faced the earthly consequences of his actions. He suffered and he died a horrible death. But Jesus' action on our behalf was not finished. For on Easter Sunday, this day of resurrection, he rose again and he lives still. When we think of Job, we see that Job's action in the face of his enormous losses was not physical, but he trusted, he hung on to hope during the agonizing times of his life. And Job left us with an image of the value of trusting God. The lesson from Job is that he did not get so preoccupied with severe testing that he lost sight of God. Some religious people don't believe God allows troubles to come to people. Others just insulate themselves from the one who specializes in caring for them in such circumstances. And some people, well, they harbor bitterness in their hearts, upset that their toys have been taken away. These narrow perspectives keep people from living in the light of eternity's hope. And on this day, this resurrection day, it is through God's grace that we can exit the tunnels of pain and poor financial conditions. It's on this day, this resurrection day, it's as though God's grace, through God's grace, that we can look out and see if the storm is over and release some of the anger inside. And on this day, this resurrection day, it's through God's grace that we can begin again to believe in the goodness of God and God's creation. When the Bible talks about us being restored in relationship, it really, in the words it uses, means it takes us back, takes us right back to the days of creation when God walked with Adam and they spoke one friend with another. And when we are redeemed, when we are restored in relationship with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we return to that state where we can walk with God and talk with him, one friend to the other. Only after Job forgave his friends and prayed for them, did he receive the blessings that God reserved for him. And on this day, this resurrection day, it is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we must resolve to walk by faith. Trials are those times when what we see does not seem to match up with what is true. And on this day, this resurrection day, it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we confirm our faith and walk confidently out of the darkness and into the light with Christ walking with us. Amen.